When someone you love is facing cancer, you want to do more than send a card or flowers that will wilt in a week. You want to actually help. That's where the Balm Box comes in. Our care packages are built from research with over 500 cancer patients and caregivers, packed with items people actually use during treatment. Think soothing, practical, thank goodness I have this kind of relief. For you, it's not just a gift. It's a way to show up in a moment where words fall short. For them, it's comfort, calm, and a reminder they're not alone. From chemo-friendly boxes to mastectomy recovery kits, even options for men, we've made it simple to give something that's elegant, premium, and genuinely useful. And yes, domestic shipping's always free on orders over $50, because making someone feel cared for shouldn't be complicated. So skip the empty get well soon. Send real help, real comfort, and maybe even a laugh. Visit thebalmbox.com. That's thebalmbox.com. Balm, like healing and care. The Balm Box. Because cancer patients don't need bouquets and brownies. They need Balm.
The night is thick with the humid air of Manila, and the city's neon lights flicker like distant fireflies lost in the fog. In every corner of the Philippines, tales are whispered. Stories of spirits, of things seen and unseen, of old wounds that bleed through the fabric of our daily life. But some stories, the ones that truly haunt us, begin in the most ordinary of places. A favorite snack stand by the school, the laughter of children echoing through the late afternoon, the sizzle of burgers on a grill. Imagine that comfort, that routine, suddenly split open by something supernatural. A flash of light, a hovering ball of silver, a moment that forever warps your sense of reality. Tonight, we dive into one such story, a tale that begins with the simple craving for hamburgers and ends with a question that lingers long after the last bite. It's a story rooted in our shared Filipino experience, but its fears, wonders, and chills cross borders and generations. What happens when the ordinary becomes extraordinary? When a snack run turns into an encounter with something not of this world? I'm Mark, and you're listening to the True Philippine Ghost Stories podcast. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 4, San Elmo's Fire. Before we get swept up in tonight's chilling account, let me set the scene. Food, as many of us know, is not just nourishment. It is memory, comfort, and connection. For our storyteller, burgers were more than just a snack. They were a ritual, a way to celebrate the end of a school day, a reason to gather with friends and play. But as we'll soon discover, even these joyful rituals can be interrupted by forces we can't explain. The story you're about to hear is based on a true account from Book 2 of the True Philippine Ghost Stories series, written by Cherry Baranevo and found on pages 20 to 22. It's an experience so strange, so inexplicable, that it almost cost the narrator his appetite for burgers forever. And let's be honest, here in the Philippines, that's saying something. But what exactly happened that day? What did the narrator and his friend see floating in the air, shining with an otherworldly light? And what does it mean for all of us, who have our own favorite places and memories? Could the supernatural be lurking just around the corner, waiting for us when we least expect it? Tonight we'll listen closely to this tale, examine its roots in Filipino folklore, and ask ourselves, how do we make sense of the unknown? When reality shifts and the world becomes just a little bit stranger, what do we do with our fear, our curiosity, our wonder? Settle in, turn off the lights if you dare, and get ready to question what you think you know about the world around you. This is True Philippine Ghost Stories, and the story is just beginning. Let's step into the world of our narrator, a world that, on the surface, feels so familiar. The story unfolds in a school that's been standing since World War II. Its walls echoing with history, with the laughter and shouts of generations of students. And, if the tales are true, with something else entirely. Picture it. The sun is sinking low, casting golden light across the campus. The old buildings loom, their windows catching the last rays of day, their shadows stretching long and strange across the playground. For most children, this is a place of learning and play. But for those who listen, really listen, there are other stories murmured in the halls. A narrator, a self-proclaimed lover of hamburgers, remembers his elementary days not just for the lessons or the games, but for the snack stand perched right beside the school. It wasn't just a place to eat, it was a haven. After long hours of playing tag or hide and seek, he and his friends would make a beeline for the stand, pockets full of coins, stomachs rumbling with anticipation. This burger stand was more than meets the eye. It served not just burgers, but also waffles and shakes, treats that made each visit feel like a mini celebration. For our narrator, the perfect combination was a burger and a mango shake, a pairing that still makes his mouth water just thinking about it. But a shadow hangs over this cheerful scene. The school itself is a place of legend and loss, its past marked by violence and sorrow. During the Japanese occupation in World War II, the campus served as a barracks. Old-timers whispered that executions happened there. Filipino soldiers beheaded by the invaders. Over the years, these stories have become woven into the fabric of the school. Tales of ghosts, of apparitions glimpsed in the early morning, of heavy footsteps echoing in empty corridors after dark. There is the capre, half human, half horse, said to lounge lazily beneath an ancient tree, its eyes glowing in the shade. Teachers have reported seeing the pale face of a girl peering from the library windows at dawn, her hair falling like a curtain between worlds. Security guards, perhaps the bravest among them, tell of nights when desks and chairs flew through the air, as if caught in the grip of unseen hands. For the narrator, though, these were just stories, background noise to the real business of being a kid, eating, playing, and, reluctantly, studying. His mother, ever watchful, would sometimes keep him back after school to review his lessons, sitting with him in the quieter, less crowded college department at the back of the campus. It was peaceful there, the silence broken only by the occasional passing student or the distant sounds of the city beyond the gates. But one day, after the stress of final exams, his mother decided to reward him. She let him have the entire afternoon to himself, no nagging, no textbooks, just the freedom to play. And, of course, money for burgers. He played until his legs ached, until the sweat stung his eyes, until the only thing left to do was eat. He and his friend Danny made their way to the burger stand, hearts light, laughter still bubbling between them. The familiar smells, grilled meat, sweet syrup, fresh fruit, welcomed them. They ordered their usual and settled in, sinking their teeth into warm, juicy burgers, the world narrowing to this simple, perfect moment. Then everything changed. A flash of light, so bright and unexpected that it seemed to split the air, caught his attention. At first, he thought someone was taking a picture, but there was no camera, no telltale click. The light grew brighter, moving closer, until it hovered just inches from his face, a ball of silver, glowing and alive, floating in the air as if it had a mind of its own. The world seemed to stop. The sounds of the street, the sizzle of the grill, the chatter of other customers, all faded away. The silver ball hung there for a moment, shimmering with an intensity that felt both beautiful and terrifying. And then, just as suddenly as it appeared, it shot up into the sky and vanished, leaving only silence and the stunned faces of two boys, burgers forgotten in their hands. Shaken, the narrator turned to Danny. Had he seen it too? The answer was written all over his friend's face. Wide eyes, pale skin, disbelief. They stammered out their questions to the vendor, but she only shrugged. She'd seen nothing, heard nothing. Maybe, she suggested, it was just a spark from the electric wires overhead. Don't just bug her? Danny asked. It's a home I spent, answered the vendor. But they knew better. This was no ordinary spark. What was it? An orb? a ghost? The soul of a soldier? Still searching for peace after all these years? The questions hung in the air, as heavy and electric as the moment itself. Remember, this story is drawn from Book 2 of True Philippine Ghost Stories, pages 20 to 22. A testament to the power of everyday places to become the stage for the extraordinary. And yet, a story... Let's unravel what happened next. For days, maybe even years, the memory of that silver ball haunted the narrator. Every time he passed the burger stand, he'd glance upward, half expecting to see that shimmering orb again. The thrill of eating burgers, once so simple, now carried a trace of fear. A reminder that the world is never as safe or as ordinary as we'd like to believe. But what exactly did they witness that day? This is where Filipino culture and history add layers of meaning to the story. First, let's talk about orbs. In many cultures, floating balls of light have long been associated with the supernatural. Here in the Philippines, some say that such lights are spirits, lost souls, or perhaps elementals, creatures that exist alongside us but rarely make themselves known. Others believe they are a form of St. Elmo's fire, a rare electrical phenomenon where glowing plasma appears during thunderstorms, often on ships at sea or on tall structures. In the old days, sailors believed St. Elmo's fire was a sign from the heavens, sometimes an omen of doom, sometimes a symbol of protection. The narrator school, with its bloody history, offers another explanation. During World War II, the Japanese occupation left deep scars on many communities. The executions, the suffering, the unresolved pain, these are the ingredients that, in folklore, create restless spirits. It's easy to imagine that the energy of such a place could linger, manifesting in strange and terrifying ways. But what about the burger stand? Why did the orb appear there? In broad daylight, in front of two boys just trying to enjoy their merienda. That's part of what makes this story so powerful, the collision of the ordinary and the extraordinary. Let's pause to consider the psychological impact of such an event. For a child, the world is full of magic and mystery, but also fear. When something inexplicable happens, it can shatter your sense of safety. Suddenly, the places you trust most, your school, your favorite snack stand, become haunted, uncertain. The narrator tried to make sense of the events. He asked the vendor, hoping for a rational explanation. Maybe it was just a trick of the light, a reflection, a spark from the power lines. But deep down, he knew that wasn't true. The experience had the weight of the supernatural, the feeling of having glimpsed something from another world.
When someone you love is facing cancer, you want to do more than send a card or flowers that will wilt in a week. You want to actually help. That's where the BalmBox comes in. Our care packages are built from research with over 500 cancer patients and caregivers, packed with items people actually use during treatment. Think soothing, practical, thank goodness I have this kind of relief. For you, it's not just a gift. It's a way to show up in a moment where words fall short. For them, it's comfort, calm, and a reminder they're not alone. From chemo-friendly boxes to mastectomy recovery kits, even options for men, we've made it simple to give something that's elegant, premium, and genuinely useful. And yes, domestic shipping's always free on orders over $50, because making someone feel cared for shouldn't be complicated. So skip the empty get well soon. Send real help, real comfort, and maybe even a laugh. Visit thebalmbox.com. That's thebalmbox.com. Balm, like healing and care. The Balm Box. Because cancer patients don't need bouquets and brownies. They need balm.
Oh, as he grew older, the memory didn't fade. In fact, it grew sharper, more insistent. He shared the story with friends, some of whom claimed to have psychic abilities. They listened, intrigued, but none could offer a definitive answer. An orb, they said. Or maybe St. Elmo's fire. But what did it mean? In Filipino culture, stories like this are not just entertainment. They are warnings, lessons, reminders of our connection to the past and to the unseen. The narrator wondered if the shining silver ball might have been the soul of a soldier executed during the war. A restless spirit trapped between worlds, seeking release or recognition. It's a chilling thought. And it's not just fantasy. Across the Philippines, there are countless stories of spirits haunting old schools, military barracks, and battlefields. The pain of war, the trauma of violence, leaves marks that are not easily erased. Let's also touch on the science. San Elmo's fire is a real phenomenon named after the patron saint of sailors. It's caused by ionized air, which glows with a blue or violet light during certain weather conditions. But what our narrator saw was different. A silver ball, bright and hovering, moving with purpose. It didn't fit the typical description of San Elmo's fire, which usually clings to objects rather than floating freely. So we're left with a mystery. Was it a spirit, a ghost, an elemental, or something else entirely? Sometimes, the most frightening stories are the ones that refuse to be explained. For our narrator, the experience was transformative. He never looked at the world the same way again. The burger stand, once a symbol of joy and comfort, became a reminder of the unknown, the thin line between the real and the unreal, the living and the dead. And that, perhaps, is the greatest lesson of all. Let's slow down and analyze what makes this story so effective, so haunting, and so memorable, both as a work of horror and as a piece of Filipino cultural storytelling. First, the narrative technique. Jerry Barrionuevo's account is told in the first person, which instantly draws us into the experience. We're not just observers, we are participants, seeing the world through the narrator's eyes. This immediacy makes the supernatural event feel personal and real. The everyday details, the taste of burgers, the sounds of children playing, the familiar setting, ground the story in reality, making the intrusion of the supernatural all the more shocking. There's also the gradual build of suspense. At first, everything is ordinary, even comforting. We feel safe in the routine of snack time, the camaraderie of friends. The ghost stories about the school are mentioned almost in passing as background noise, reinforcing the idea that the supernatural is always lurking at the edges of our lives. Then comes the turning point. The flash of light, the silver ball. The description is vivid and unsettling, but not overly dramatic. It's the very matter-of-factness of the account, the way the narrator simply reports what he saw, that makes it so effective. We're left to fill in the gaps, to supply our own fears and interpretations. This is a hallmark of great horror. Suggestion rather than exposition, ambiguity rather than certainty. The story doesn't tell us what the orb was, or why it appeared, or what it wanted. Instead, it leaves us with questions, with a sense of unease, that lingers long after the story ends. From a cultural perspective, the story is deeply rooted in Filipino beliefs about ghosts and the supernatural. The idea of spirits haunting places of violence and suffering, the belief in elementals and orbs, the blending of Catholic and indigenous folklore. These are all central to our understanding of the unknown. But the story also taps into universal themes, the fear of the unexplained, the vulnerability of childhood, the fragility of reality. It's worth comparing this story to similar tales from other cultures. In the West, for example, there are countless stories of haunted schools and battlefields, of orbs seen in graveyards and abandoned buildings. In Japan, the concept of onryo, vengeful spirits of those wronged in life, is not so different from our own restless souls. What makes the Filipino version unique, though, is the way it intertwines history, community, and everyday life. The psychological impact of the story is profound. For the narrator, the experience shattered his sense of safety, forcing him to confront the possibility that the world is far stranger and more dangerous than he'd imagine. For us, as listeners, the story challenges us to question our own beliefs, to wonder what we might see if we let down our guard, if we allowed ourselves to really see. And let's not overlook the role of food in the story. Food is comfort, tradition, identity. The fact that this supernatural encounter happened in the midst of such an ordinary, joyful activity makes it all the more unsettling. It's a reminder that the unknown can intrude at any moment, transforming the familiar into something uncanny. In terms of storytelling effectiveness, the story succeeds on multiple levels. It's concise but evocative, personal but universal. It leaves us with more questions than answers, which is exactly what the best ghost stories should do. The image of the silver orb hovering in the air is unforgettable, a symbol of everything we don't understand, everything we fear. For me, the most memorable moment is that split second when the narrator realizes the orb is real, that it's not a trick of the light or a figment of his imagination. It's the moment when the boundary between worlds dissolves and anything becomes possible. As we draw this episode to a close, it's time to reflect, rate, and look ahead. Let's start with a star rating. Out of 5 stars, I would give Sonoma's Fire a solid 4.5 stars. Here's why. First, the story excels in its simplicity. The writing is clear and relatable, making it easy for listeners of all ages to follow. The setting is familiar, the characters are believable, and the supernatural element is introduced with just the right amount of ambiguity. The story doesn't try to do too much. It focuses on a single, inexplicable event and lets the reader draw their own conclusion. Second, the integration of Filipino culture and history adds depth and resonance. The references to World War II, to local folklore, to the everyday rituals of childhood all serve to ground the story in a specific time and place. This makes the supernatural encounter feel both personal and universal, both unique and timeless. Third, the psychological impact of the story is significant. By placing the supernatural event in such an ordinary context, a burger stand, a favorite snack, the story forces us to confront our own fears about the unknown. It reminds us that the boundary between the real and the unreal is thinner than we'd like to think. However, I'm holding back half a star because the story doesn't fully explore the aftermath of the event. We're left with questions about the narrator's feelings, about how the experience changed him, about what happened to the burger stand after that day. A bit more reflection or resolution could have made the story even stronger. Still, San Elmo's Fire is a standout entry in the True Philippine Ghost Story series. A story that lingers, that makes us question, that stays with us long after the last word. Now, let's look ahead to our next episode. Next time on True Philippine Ghost Stories podcast, we'll be diving into Food Trip by Gianna Mendiego. Here's a sneak peek. Watch out for that pothole. Claire clutched her husband's arm as the car they had rented lurched into a ditch. Mario tried to avoid it by swerving to the left, but the right rear still hit the pothole. It was nearly noon, and they were both cranky after chugging along for 2 hours along bad roads. The couple had rented a car upon arriving at the Bacolod Airport. They were on their way to Claire's hometown in the hinterlands of Negros. It was a combination business trip and family visit for the two. But now, faced with a long stretch of deserted road that was pockmarked with potholes, renting a car didn't seem like such a good idea. After a bumpy ride, the couple stumbles upon a restaurant that seems too good to be true. Delicious food, vintage cars in the parking lot, and an eerie emptiness inside. But when they finally reach Claire's grandparents' house and share their experience, they learn a chilling secret. That's what you will find out on the next episode. No spoilers here, sorry. What happens when a simple meal turns into a brush with the supernatural? Can food really be too good to be true? And what would you do if you realized you'd just dined at a place that shouldn't exist? I hope you'll join me for that episode because it promises to be just as strange and unsettling as tonight's tale. Before we wrap up, I want to invite you, our listeners, to share your own stories. Have you ever experienced something you couldn't explain? A ghostly encounter? A strange coincidence? A moment that made you question the world around you? If so, I'd love to hear from you. Your stories are what make this podcast possible, what keep the spirit of Filipino storytelling alive. As we close, let's take a moment to reflect on the lessons of tonight's episode. The world is full of mysteries, both beautiful and terrifying. Sometimes the most ordinary places can become the setting for extraordinary events. And while we may never find all the answers, It's the questions, the curiosity, the wonder, the fear that keep us searching. So tonight, as you turn off the lights and settle in to sleep, remember, you never know what might be waiting just around the corner or floating just above your burger. I'm Mark, and this has been the True Philippine Ghost Stories Podcast. Thank you for joining me on this journey into the unknown. Until next time, stay curious, stay brave, and remember, some stories are true because we believe them. Good night, and see you in the next episode.